Blog Talk Radio.
Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to start there this morning. I want to welcome those who are listening in by way of the Old Path broadcast. It's a blessing to invite them into our service this morning. Hopefully in the next few weeks we'll get our other system up where we won't have to do this through a cell phone, and maybe the sound will be a lot better. But until then, we just kind of have to deal with what we got. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 this morning. And I wonder what you have before you is a song. You have a song of Moses. Moses gave this song right before his death. He sang a song unto the Lord. And as I was reading this week, I was trying to put it to music. Of course, I have no idea how Moses sang it, but I hadn't tried to play this or anything. But there's a verse here, and it's the last verse, verse 4. We'll look at it in a second. But I want you to, let's read this together. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. The God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." I started thinking of that verse 4 there. And I started thinking, how would that tune go? He is a rock. His work's perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. Stop waiting to make a good song out of that, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Let's ask God to meet with us today. As one of the songwriters said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Let's ask him to meet with us this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, just want to give you praise this morning. Just want to give you glory. Lord, my intention, this message is, Lord, to just let you unfold your magnificence before us from Scripture. Lord, just stand back and just be in awe and reverence of who we serve. Lord, I pray this morning as we read, as we study, as we get into the Scripture this morning, may we see just what we have in Jesus. And Lord, those who listen in, Lord, may they understand what they have in Jesus. And if they don't have Christ as their Savior, oh Lord, may their hearts begin to burn. Lord God, may they begin to get under conviction. Holy Ghost of God, draw them to repentance, to a turning to Christ, a turning from the ways of sin to the ways of God, to believe on Christ, to be born again, to be washed as white as snow. Father, I plead with you, please put your hand upon me, Lord. I yearn for the power of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord, I know I'm nothing without you. Lord, with you, I know that all things are possible. So I praise you and I give you glory. I ask you, Father, speak through me this morning. Speak to us, and we'll give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's look at that passage again, verses 1 through 4. Moses is, again, this is Moses. This is Moses singing this song before the children of Israel. This is a people who were a stiff-necked people, a hard-headed people, a times an indignant people, a very rebellious people. These are people he literally had to basically baby and drag all over the backside of the desert, and now he's got them to the door of the promised land. God is about to take him up on Mount Nebo and tell him, you're not going over there with the rest of them. You're fixing to die, Moses. I found it interesting. I always find it interesting every time I read the last chapter of Deuteronomy, something that a lot of people don't realize. But God, you realize that Moses wrote the first five books of the law, and he wrote down what God told him. All right? Well, before the book ends, God told him that Moses died. And God buried him. And Moses wrote all that down before God took his life. God killed him and God buried him right there on Mount Nebo. That's what the Bible says. So that must have been a shocker when God says, okay, you're going to die, Moses. Okay, it's time. And the eye ain't dim, the strength ain't abated. He was still 120 years old, still strong as he ever was, still just as virile a man as he ever was. But anyway, before all that happened, he sang this song to the children of Israel. Now listen to what it says. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Everybody ought to hear what I'm about to say is what he's saying. Everybody should pay attention to this. He said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. Oh, the rain's refreshing. The rain makes everything better. The rain gives life to a dry, thirsty land. He said, in the small rain upon the tender herb. You know what? The Word of God, it's a strong rain on those who can handle the strong rain, and it's a tender rain on those who can only handle the tender rain. And he said, and as the showers upon the grass, he said, my speech shall distill as the dew. I missed that line. He said, my speech shall distill as the dew. The dew falls upon things that it just sits there and seeps in. The Word of God, if we'll pay attention to it, if we hear what it says, God's word will distill into our hearts slowly, and we'll get it. You may not get it bang all at once, but if you keep listening to it, if you keep paying attention to it, if you keep laying it over the top of you, just like the dew falls upon the grass, eventually it's going to sink in. He said in verse 3, he said, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. I want to tell you how great God is, and I want you to tell others how great God is. Now, he says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. All of his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. First thing I want to talk about this morning, we're just going to talk about verse 4. That's what we're going to do. God didn't give me some long sermon full of points and everything. He just showed me this verse. This verse has just been, it's just been coming back to me all week long. But listen, he is the rock. That's the title of the message this morning. He is the rock. Now, if you ask most, I guarantee if you ask young people in America today, who is the rock? They're going to say, well, that's Dwayne Johnson. Y'all don't know who the rock, y'all don't know who Dwayne Johnson is, do you? Well, he was a wrestler. He was a wrestler, and he got his fame as the name The Rock. He'd get the microphone, he'd say, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Now, that was his slogan. Listen, he's a movie star. He's acted in kid movies and action movies and everything else. But he thinks he's really something else. But you know what? I think he needs to check himself because he's going around telling everybody that he is the rock. Now, I know he calls himself that because he's full of muscle, and he calls himself the rock. But I want to tell you something. He's not the rock. He never was the rock. Amen? He ain't even a chip off the rock. Amen? Matter of fact, I don't know if he even knows who the rock is. Amen? But I'm here to tell you something. I know the rock. Amen? And that rock is my Savior. That rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is my Lord and Savior. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 32 where we're at. If you look down at verse 18, it says, of the rock that begat thee. Amen? I was born from a rock. Amen? I got born from a rock. Praise God. That's kind of odd to say that. Amen? But listen to me, Jesus is my rock. I got born again there, praise God. Of the rock that begat thee, he said, Moses said to the children of Israel, thou art unmindful. You have forgotten the rock that brought you in to this world and have forgotten God that formed thee. Do you realize that we forget God so often? I mean, I know you do. Surely you do. We forget God in that when troubles hit. Bang, we forget. We go, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We don't know what to do. How are we going to handle this? When trouble arrives, what are we going to do? We forget the rock. Amen? The children of Israel, is not the first time they ever met God. Amen? Listen, when trouble would hit, when they faced something new, wasn't the first time God had ever been needed. But bless God, they forgot him time and time again. Over and over again. They complained, they whined, they griped the whole time, and they forgot that God was the one who led them out of bondage in Egypt. God is the one. I mean, just the fact that God led them out of the bondage of Egypt, just the fact that they spoiled the Egyptians on their way out, amen? The fact that God opened up the Red Sea to stand up on a heap on either side and didn't move and dried the ground under their feet that they might walk across. I mean, God provided, amen? God did all that. And yet they forgot him time and time. They forgot him as soon as they got to the other side of the Red Sea. What did he do? Broke off all the earrings, broke off all the jewelry, had them melt it down, had Aaron build a golden calf, and they fell down and worked and took off a bunch of clothes, went to dancing around and playing music and partying. Listen, they were forgetful people, not unlike you and us. We tend to be forgetful people. And Moses says, you forgot, you're unmindful of the rock. That begat you. That's the one who gave you life. He said, how should one chase a thousand? Look at verse 30. Look down at verse 30. He said, he asked the question, how should one chase a thousand? How's one person going to go up against a thousand people? He said, and two put 10,000 to flight, except that their rock had sold them. In other words, he convinced that 10,000 that two people could send them running. He convinced that thousand, that one person could send them running. God's the one that did that. And the Lord has shut them up for their rock, the enemies of God. Their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves, being judges, the enemies of God know, listen, you know, the enemies of God know that what they depend on ain't nothing like what we depend on. Time and time again in the New Testament, you saw where the devils, they didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Leave us alone. Leave us alone, they said. Leave us alone. They didn't want Jesus getting a hold of them. Amen. Hey, their rock's not like our rock. Praise God. In 1 Samuel 2:2, I'm not going to ask you to turn all these. You'll never get up in time. In 1 Samuel 2:2, David proclaims this. He says, there is none holy as the Lord. There's nothing. Nowhere as holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. There's not another like the Lord. Amen. Neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. A rock is solid. A rock is dependable. A rock has been for a long, long time and ain't going nowhere. Amen. Listen, but our God is the rock. He's not rock, a rock made out of stone. He is the rock of all eternity. Praise God. Listen, David was good at praising the Lord. David liked to praise the Lord. You and I ought to get out of our stiff stodginess and want to praise the Lord every now and then. We ought to not be ashamed to praise God. Amen? Listen, he said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, 3, and then we're going to jump down. He says, and he said, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You know what he's saying? God is unmovable. God is my hiding place. God will fight my battles for me. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He's my shield, my protector. He said he's the horn of my salvation. I can't find, there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is my deliverer, amen. He's the horn of my salvation. He said he's my high tower. When I'm in danger, I can run to him, and I'm high above the mess that's surrounding me, amen. He's my refuge. He's my hiding place. He's my savior. He's my rescuer. Thou savest me from violence. Verse 32 says, for who is God? Save the Lord. Who is a rock? Save our God. There is no other. There's no one else like Jesus. There's no one who can do for us what God can do for us. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Praise God. David knew who he served. David understood who God was and what God could do. There was no doubt in his mind what God was able to do for him. Again, in Psalm 61, verses 2 through 4, David proclaimed, he said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." Praise God. You know what that tells me? No matter where you are, God will hear you. "When my heart is overwhelmed." You ever been there? Been there lately, huh? We get there often, don't we? He said, no matter where I'm at, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I just don't think I can handle it anymore, he said, "Lead me to the rock that's higher than I." When I ain't got no help, when I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't want to get to Jesus. I think about that song we sing every now and then. "I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He's a kind, compassionate friend. I can't even remember the words now. If I but tell him, he will deliver. Bring to my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these troubles alone. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. I thank God I have Jesus." Amen. "I thank God he's my high tower. I thank God that I can go to him and he's able to take care of me. Praise God. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." God's my protector. Amen. The enemy can't have me, praise God, because I am in his hand, God's hand. "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." That means God hides me there. God shelters me from the enemy. If I go to him and I lay down my fears at God's feet, if I go to him and I lay down my troubles at God's feet, God gives my old poor heart rest. God gives me the weariness, that he lifts the weariness off of me. God gives me rest. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, the Bible says that Simon Peter answered Jesus when Jesus asked him, "Who am I?" And Jesus answered, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now don't misunderstand what he said there. Peter answered and told him, he said, "I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. I know who you are. You're the Savior." And Jesus said, "Hey, listen, you didn't figure that out on your own. There's no way you could realize that on your own. God has showed you who I am." And he says this, listen, he said, "You're Peter." Peter means a pebble. Peter doesn't mean a rock. Catholic Church got it all backwards. They think that Peter is the rock of the church. That's what they teach, but that's lies. Listen, Peter ain't no rock. Peter was a pebble. Jesus said, "Upon this rock," he was talking about himself, "upon this rock, upon you, you'll build my church." No, he said, "Upon this rock, me, I will build my church." Listen, Peter didn't build no church. Amen? Ain't no pope in Rome ever built nothing but a bunch of buildings, a bunch of gold garbage, and a bunch of wicked idolatrous stuff. Listen, they ain't never built nothing for God. Listen, God is the one who builds it. And he says, listen, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Something misunderstood about that. People think that means the gates of hell will not destroy the church. Well, that's backwards. The church doesn't have gates, first of all. The Bible says the gates of hell. Hell has gates. And the gates of hell won't prevail. That means they will not be able to hold back. The gates will not be able to hold back the Lord's church. You see, that's the thing that you got to understand. All the devil would like to do is take a soul out of Jesus' hands. He can't do it. The devil can't come to the Lord's church and take a child of God and make him a heathen again. Cannot do that. As much as he'd like, he cannot do that. Because when Christ saves a soul, he saves a soul forever and ever and ever and ever. But what the Lord's church is able to do in the Lord's power is able to go to one who would be seemingly on their way, surely for hell, and the Holy Ghost of God can convict that hell-bound sinner and show them their need for Christ, and that soul turn to Christ in repentance and faith and be born again, and the church will literally take one from the gates of hell. Amen? That's what God is saying. Why? Because he is the rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4. The Bible talking about the children of Israel, the Bible says, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. I thank God that he follows me throughout every step of my life. I thank God that he didn't save me and leave me on my own to figure all this out. I'm thankful that he didn't leave me to face against all those the workers of iniquity that would destroy me in my life. Thank God that he still is my rock. He's a shelter in a dry and a thirsty land. Amen? He's shade for my soul. A rock. A rock, you can defend yourself behind the rock, but the rock will defend you. Amen? No matter what, listen, don't miss this. No matter what in your life you come up against, no matter what comes to destroy you, if you will hide yourself behind the rock that is Jesus, you need not fear, because the rock is higher than you. The rock is able to defend you. The rock is able to deliver you. You don't have to worry because you have the rock. Amen? Not some Hollywood actor, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock. Amen? He is the rock. Listen, his work is perfect. That's what the Bible tells us. His work is perfect. God's work, God doesn't make mistakes. God never messes up. God's never said oops. God's never said whoops. Listen, that stuff don't happen. God's perfect in all of his works, in all of his ways. Listen, all of his works are perfect. It was beautiful before sin ever tainted it. Amen, it was perfect. Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Everything that he made was beautiful. Most beautiful thing you could ever imagine. And we don't even fully understand how everything in this world works. God made these human bodies. They're so complicated, so fascinating. Amen. If it weren't for sin, they just keep on running and keep on running and keep on running. Amen. All we have to do is in the springtime, look at the flowers that God made. Look at the intricate beauty and detail that he put into everything. You look at the wings of a butterfly. Look at a hummingbird. I mean, look at beautiful creation that God has made. God made things that we can't even understand. Amen. God made things that are incredible. God made the heart of, I've told you about this, but God made the heart of a giraffe that's very unique. In that the giraffe, when he leans his head down and then he raises his head back up, something dramatic happens in his heart. Now, the giraffe's heart's made like a sponge, and it contracts and expands according to where his head's at so he doesn't pass out. God designed it like that. God designed an elephant with a trunk that was able to do all the things that it's able to do. Can you imagine that thing had to evolve, Mr. Dodd? You remember that? I mean, you realize that? If an elephant's trunk had to evolve, that elephant would have never lived. Right? Couldn't have made it without that trunk. An anteater couldn't have made it without his long snout. God's an incredible God. His work is perfect. Amen. This is his creation. Amen? Man keeps trying to monkey with it and toy with it and change it. Man keeps trying to change God's creation. We got people in this country, and I'm not trying to get on all this stuff, but we got people in this country like Monsanto that wants to destroy our food and change it and genetically modify everything because man thinks he's so smart that he's going to make something better than what God made. I'm going to tell you something. Men are fools. Men are outright fools. You can't undo what God's done. You can't change what God's done for the better. There's no need for any other way but God's way. Amen? His word is there for us. It's here for us to believe. It's here for us to receive. It's here for us to obey. His word is perfect. His work is perfect. Amen. 2 Samuel 22:31, the Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. You say, well, I don't understand God's way. That don't mean it isn't perfect. That means you're not perfect. That means you don't have a perfect understanding. There's just so many people that don't want to get in line with God because they don't understand him. Because they don't. I can't understand that Bible. You ain't tried hard enough to understand that Bible. You haven't sought the author of that Bible to explain that Bible to you if you don't understand it. God, the Holy Ghost, lives in the life of the believer and will lead that believer in all truth. He will guide that believer in all truth. He's promised to do that. His work is perfect. Don't nobody need to change it. Don't nobody need to alter it. Nobody needs to make adjustments for themselves. God's word is right. We're the ones that need adjustments. So many characters in the Bible prove that God is always right. I mean, you think about it. Everything didn't always work out perfectly for the characters in the Bible. But you know what? In the end, God's work was always right in their life. Amen? He may have had to take them through the wilderness to prove it. He may have had to take them through the lion's den to prove it. He may have had to take them through a furnace of fire to prove it. But God proved that he's always right. And God leads us down strange roads sometimes to prove his will in our life. God allows us to go through hardships in order to mature us. God allows us to go through trials and suffering in order to make us trust him because we don't. God puts pain in our life. He allows, look at me, God allows you to hurt because you won't heed him. Because we ignore him, God puts us in a situation where we have to cry out, oh God, help me. God would rather you come to him and speak to him daily and love on him. But because we ignore him until the house is on fire, God sometimes has to set our house on fire to get his attention. His work is perfect. Don't ever say he's doing something wrong because God doesn't make mistakes. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You can't get converted nowhere else but the word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This book right here can take a man that hates God and in a moment's time change him into a man that loves God. That's awesome. How in the world could it be done other than God doing it? Amen? Listen, you take a man who hasn't got sense enough to come in out of the rain, to rub two nickels together, to tie his shoes. I mean, he's simple, the Bible says. He ain't got sense. Amen? That's what it means. He ain't got no good sense. He's simple. And God can take that man and make a wise man out of him. The word of God can change a man into something he never was before. Why? Because his work's perfect. Ecclesiastes 3:14, the Bible says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. You can't change what God has done, nor anything taken from it. You can't take away from what God does. And God doeth it, and that men should fear before him. God does what he does, so that we as human beings would look and see. That's God's hand. God has done this. And you and I are nothing but his creatures who should fall in reverence before him and bow and worship the Almighty God and proclaim to the rest of this world that he is our sovereign, he is our king, he is our Almighty, and we will bow down to no other. Amen. All that men should fear before him. We ought to have a holy reverence before God that comes before anything else. James 1:17 says, listen, God, again, his work is perfect. His gifts are perfect too. God's a giving God. God's a loving God. God wants to take care of you, JD. God wants to provide for you, son. Listen, he says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God knows exactly what we need. God knows exactly when we need it. When sometimes we pray for something, oh, God, I need this, and God doesn't give it right away. And we say, why isn't God hearing my prayer? Oh, he's hearing you. But God's smarter than you. His ways are way above our ways. His thoughts way above our thoughts. And God knows that if he gave it to us when we asked, it wouldn't be appreciated like it would be when we needed it. If God gave it to us and we didn't have to struggle for it, we wouldn't appreciate it like we do if he allows us to really, really have a need. God's ways are perfect, amen? Just like a parent loves a child, and if you give a child everything they ever want, they'll grow up and not appreciate a thing. It makes them sorry. Listen to me. God knows that too. And God's timing is always right, even if we don't agree with it. Amen? He is a rock. He is the rock. His way is perfect. Thirdly, it says all of his ways are judgment. That ought to scare you. If you don't understand what I'm saying yet, that ought to scare you. His ways are judgment. Let me put that to you in a different way. God don't let things slide. God is a judge. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. You know God's searching your heart right now while you're sitting in this room? God's searching your heart to see if you're even listening to the message. God's searching your heart. You may hear it with your ears, but are you hearing it with your heart? God's searching your heart to see if you're getting any of this. He's judging you while you're listening. Ever thought about that? You can sit and tune out what the preacher says. You can just tune it out, think about something else, and look at the preacher and fool the preacher. But you can't fool God because God searches your heart. He said, I try the reins. Now, you understand something? The reins meant the kidneys. At one time, the kidneys were thought to be the seat of the emotions. The Bible uses it different ways. It talks about the heart being the seat of the emotions, the kidneys being the start of the seat of the emotions, at times the bowels being the seat of the emotions. And that's a good thing we don't use that anymore, because I'd hate to see that Valentine's card with a picture of guts on it, wouldn't you? Amen, or a picture of kidneys. I love you with all my kidneys. No, that's not. We don't use that language anymore. But that's what the Word of God is saying. He said, I search the heart, I try the reins. In other words, I am trying, I am proving whether you are genuine in your love or not. I'm checking you to see if you really love me. And God is looking at you this morning and saying, do you really love me, or are you just sitting here waiting for it to be over? Are you really seeking to get anything out of this, or are you just waiting until he's done? It ain't about me. It's about what God said. Amen? It's about his word all the way. He says, I try the reins. In other words, I'm going to test you. I'm going to prove you. Even, listen, to give every man according to his way. God is not going to deal with you according to how he sees me. God is not going to deal with you according to how he sees somebody else. God is going to deal with you according to you. He said, and according to the fruit of his doings. What's God doing? God's judging us. He deals with us according to what he judges, what he sees in our life. And if God sees in us a lack of concern for him, God is going to put some testing in our lives. God is going to put trials in our way. Again, to draw us to him. Deuteronomy 10:18, the Bible says he does execute the judgment of the fatherless. Oh, God judges. God judges that some are without fathers and without mothers, and God judges that they need him more than others who have things need him. And God is especially careful in his care of those. God looks and he sees the fatherless and the widow, and he loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. God's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a tender God. And he's a faithful God. And he provides for those who don't have anything. God will take in those who can't provide. And God will do for them what they can't have from themselves. God will provide. Amen. He judges rightly. Job 35:14. Job said, although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore, trust thou in him. You might say, well, I don't see God working in my life. But you know what he said? You better believe he is. Even if you can't see him working, you better know that he is. And God is judging you, whether you realize it and whether you see it or not. Amen. So you better trust in him, because he's still doing it, whether you see him, whether you realize it or not. Psalm 9:16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. How many times do we look back and we say, wow, that was God working in my life. That was God at work in my life. There wasn't a way we could have dealt with this situation had it not been for God. How many times have we looked back and seen where God was working in our life? Amen. God executing judgment in our life. God working things in our favor for his glory. Amen. We know that God has been there because God's judgment has been there. Amen. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. Wicked man have fallen into his own trap. Why? Because God is in charge. God is on his throne. God is sitting in judgment. Amen. Psalm 97:2. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. I want to tell you something. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm his child. When I hear that right there, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. That'd scare the living daylights out of me if I was a lost man who had God's wrath waiting to fall upon him. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God that my wrath, all he had for me, all the anger, all the wrath, he didn't put it on me. He's not going to put it on me. He put it on the cross of Calvary, on Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. He punished him instead of me. All his ways are judgment. God had to judge. God had to judge somebody, and he knew that we couldn't do a thing for ourselves, so he sent us a Savior to take it for us, to give us the way out, to give us the way to him. Jeremiah 9:24, but let him know, let him that glorieth glory in this. If you're going to brag, if you're going to set up and give some praise, he said, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Hey, if you got a reason to glory or praise or brag in this world, the only thing you got to brag on is the fact that you know God. That's it. Amen? Hey, he said that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. Praise God. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that God's a God full of loving, not just kindness, but loving kindness. He does for you because he wants to. He's a God of loving kindness. He exercises and he also executes judgment. Amen. God is not going to let us just continually get away with sin. God is not going to tolerate us ignoring him, being lazy about our Christianity. God is not going to tolerate that. God is going never to be satisfied with us being lazy and complacent. God is never going to be satisfied with that. God calls us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the standard. God calls us to be more than what we are. He said, I'm the Lord that exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. God delights when he sees, look here, when he sees loving kindness, are you listening? When he sees loving kindness in us. God delights when he sees us have his characteristics. God delights when he sees us using judgment. God delights when he sees us living righteously. Why? Because we are becoming more and more like him. We're not going to do that unless we love him. We're not going to do that unless we realize that he is our all in all. He is our rock. He is our hiding place. He is our deliverer. He is our fortress. He is our high and mighty tower. Until we realize that he is all that we need and he's all that we have and he's all that we will ever need, until we realize that and until we depend on him like that, we will never, ever appreciate who he is and what he does. Revelation 15:3-4, the Bible says, and they sing, listen to this, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. It's in Revelation. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Listen to what that's saying. It's referencing the very song that we're talking about to begin with. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All of his ways are judgment. A God of truth and not of iniquity, and without iniquity, just and right is he. That song will be sung in heaven. That song will be praised, lifted up in praise in heaven. Amen. This is talking about when Christ comes again to rule and reign upon the earth. That song will be sung there too. Amen. And listen, and the Bible says, who shall not fear thee? Who's not going to fear the Lord when he comes back? Listen to me. The governments of this world today are fearful of the coming of Christ. They're fearful. There's a reason why this book is banned in so many countries of the world. Why? Because they're fearful of God's power. That's why so many of the peoples of this world are so enraptured in their false religions. Why? Because they're fearful of God. They want something else to soothe their conscience. They want something else to take the place of him because they fear him. They want something else to give them power to conquer. That's why the Muslims want to control the world. They want to conquer. They want to be in power. They don't want our God to rule and reign. That's why they behead people who name the name of Jesus. Not because if they thought it was nothing, listen to me. If they thought it was all about nothing, they wouldn't bother them. They'd say, y'all are idiots. They'd say, we serve the true God. Y'all are idiots. You ain't going to bother us. What? I've never seen a born-again Christian raise up in violence against anybody. A true born-again, to attack somebody else. A true born-again believer. They're not concerned about real believers. They're concerned about the one we serve. They hate him. But let me tell you something. It's coming today. It's coming today, not too far from today, when they're going to try to hide themselves. They're going to try to hide them. They're going to cry out to the rocks to fall on them and hide them from him that sitteth upon the throne. Amen. They don't want to see the face of the Lamb. Amen. They don't want the rock. Oh, they think they want the rocks of earth to fall on them, but I'm going to tell you something. The rock, is going to crush them to powder. The Bible says, who shall not glorify thy name? Guess what? There's coming a day out in eternity, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Amen. He is a God of judgment. And out there at that Great White Throne Judgment, every knee, I like that word, every, praise God, it means every Muslim, every raghead, listen, everybody in orange robes at the airport with little ponytails, big tambourines, hey, every single yogi or whatever they call them, sitting in some den somewhere with their legs folded in, with a little shawl around them, and all this garb they put on. Listen, every one of them Hindus, every one of them atheists over in Russia, listen, every man down in the Congo who's worshiping a stump that he carved into something, every one of them will bow their knee before the throne of the Lamb of God, and they will have to proclaim before him that he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords before they're taken by the angels of God and they are pitched off into that lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And last but not least, well, I say last but least, brother, Satan himself will bow his knee before the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan himself will look toward him that sits upon the throne and proclaim that he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords before he is forevermore thrown into that lake of fire. Forever. for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. During the 1,000 years of Christ's reign here on this earth, all nations will come and worship before the Lord. And they will abide by his judgments, and no one will object, and no one will raise their hand. He is the rock. Can't nobody conquer. Can't nobody judge the way the Lord does. Number four, a God of truth and without iniquity. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you glad that he never gets tired of being merciful? Aren't you glad that the devil's wrong? When the devil says to you, God has had enough of you. He ain't going to put up with you no more. He ain't going to forgive you this time. You've done crossed the line. You went too far. God is through. How many times? I can't tell you how many times the devil has said that to me. He wants me to give up, you see. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit trying to serve God. He wants you to quit fellowshipping with God. He wants you to get discouraged, turn and walk away and say, it's no use. I'm too big of a failure. God won't have me. He wants you to get to that point, but I'm here to tell you that God is a God with everlasting mercy. God knows that we are flesh. God knows that we are feeble. And God knows the only way we can have any victory in this life is according to our dependency upon him. His truth endureth to all generations. How long, you tell me, have they been trying to destroy the book we hold in our hands and set in front of us? How long have they been trying to get rid of the word of God? I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says not one jot nor tittle shall pass away till all things be fulfilled. The Bible tells us that not only that, but in eternity, the word of God will still be there. The word of God will never, ever go away. They cannot destroy it, praise God. It endureth to all generations. John 1:14 tells us that God is a God of truth, amen. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of it. Amen. Listen, he didn't have no other. Jesus didn't have no quirks about him. Jesus didn't have days when he was full of anger. Jesus didn't have days when he was full of rage. Jesus didn't have days when he was full of covetousness. Jesus didn't have days when he was full of deceit, full of lies. Oh, no, no, no. He was full of mercy, and he was full of grace, and he was full of truth. Every single day that he existed upon this earth, amen, until he went back to his Father in heaven, every day he walked upon this earth, he was full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, verse 16 says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. Job 34:10, therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. Never, not once. If God ever failed in that way, then there'd be no salvation. If God ever committed any kind of sin, any kind of wickedness, this world would no longer exist. He would no longer be God. God is perfect in every way. Amen. Psalm 92:15 says, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise God. He's a perfect God. Amen. His ways are perfect. He's perfect. Just and right is he. Isaiah 45:21-25 says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who hath declared from this ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. there is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. We serve, praise God. We don't serve a man. We serve a God. Listen, those who follow Buddha, they follow a man who they hope found some kind of truth. And they hope that when they leave this earth, that somehow they can come back as some other creature. They hope that somehow they ascend and they become something through each time they think they go through this life. But I hate it for them. There's no other life but eternal life. And it's either eternal life or eternal death. Listen, there are Hindus that hope they reach some kind of, maybe I'm getting them backwards, but they hope they reach this state of enlightenment. They call it nirvana. And they're gonna live on in a state of eternal bliss. Listen, I don't want to just live in eternal bliss. I want to live in heaven with my Savior. He's perfect. He's right. Even though I'm not right, he's right. He's just. He's just to forgive me of my sins. He's just to give me eternal life. Why? Because Jesus made it right. Jesus bridged the gap. Jesus paid the debt. Jesus finished it, and it's done. And I can't be perfect. I can't live a perfect life. I can't ever achieve perfection in this lifetime. I will fail every single time. It's my failure that drives me back to God's throne. It's my failure that brings me in repentance to God of the things that have overcome me in my life. It's that that causes me to know that I need him so desperately day after day after day after day. And I can come to him and I can seek him without fear. I can seek him knowing that he hears me. Seek him knowing that he'll forgive me. I can seek him knowing that he'll take that off of me and he'll cleanse me. And not only that, he'll restore me. And not only that, he'll draw me near to his side and he'll love me and he'll be kind to me and he'll teach me and he'll grow me up and he'll mature me and he'll settle me and he'll establish me and he'll make me into the man that he wants me to be. He'll make you into the man or the woman that he wants you to be. He's right. I remember that little song that sang at camp meeting, and we tried to sing it a few times, we brought it back home. God is good and God is right. God is near both day and night. He's always right, so never fear. He's always good and always near, and he is good and right. He's just and he's right. He's the rock, folks. He's the rock. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7. 21 through 27, and we're closing. He said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody. There's people who are going to say, Lord, but Lord, but Lord. You're not coming in. That's a scary thought. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The only one that's coming in is the one that does the will of his Father in heaven. He said, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't we preach in your name? We were preachers of the gospel. He said, and in thy name have cast out devils. Lord, you remember all that. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Now they're going to say that, Lord, you know we preached. Lord, you know we cast out devils. Lord, you know all the good things that we did for, in your name. Think about that, folks. Think about the fact that that's going to happen. Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you.
I never knew you. You claim to know me, but I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Get out of here. You know where they're headed? Like, now let me comfort your hearts just a little bit here. Jesus said, I never knew you. Jesus ain't no liar. Jesus isn't stretching the truth. I never knew you. You thought you knew me, but I never knew you. Can I tell you something? If you ever come to Christ, repenting of your sin, turning from it, turning to Him, He's your only hope for heaven, laying your sins down before Him, trusting Him, believing that His blood was shed for your sins to pay for them, to wash them away. You believe and trust, and that's what, and that blood is applied once and for all to your sin debt. It washes it white as snow, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. The Holy Ghost of God quickens your spirit, makes it alive, comes to dwell in you. If that has ever taken place, Jesus could never say to you, I never knew you. What that shows me is that if we have ever been born again, we will always be born again, because Jesus could never say to one who was born again, I never knew you. So, if that's you, if you've been born again, you need to hear what I'm about to say. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's the child of God, and doeth them. You hear it and you do it. Why? Because you love Him. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man. Fellow that hears what I say and does it, he's wise. Now listen, I will liken him unto a wise man. I'll compare him to a very wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended. And the floods came. And the wind blew and beat upon that house. I'm talking about a hard rain, a flood. The Bible says, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus said, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why did it fall? On the rock. Hear me this morning. Listen to me. Are you listening? Is your house built upon that rock? Is it? Can you say that with 100% assurance? My house is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about your physical house that we live in, sleep in. I'm talking about the house of your life. I'm talking about what you plan, all that you are and all that you hope to be. Is that built upon Jesus? Or is it built upon you? Is it built upon your hope in this world? Or is it truly built upon Jesus Christ? I'm here to tell you this morning, He is the rock. There is no other. And I believe I was sitting here this morning and I realized I'm not sure if I'm really born again. I'm not sure if I'm truly saved or not. I wouldn't mess around. I would not mess around. I wouldn't wait another second. I'd get it settled with God. Somebody listening to me this morning, by way of the internet, and you realize this morning that you've never, ever put your trust in Jesus. You've been following religion, but you've never been born again. There is no other hope. There is no other place. He is the rock. The rock may
The rock will never tremble under you. You may tremble on the rock, but it'll never tremble under you. So it'll be there secure and sure forevermore. I'd urge someone this morning to come in repentance and faith and believe upon Christ. And I urge those of us in here this morning to examine our Christian life, to examine our relationship to God, to examine whether or not we're really walking with Him. Because, you know, like I said, He's a God of love and mercy, but He's a God that wants to grow you up. And He's a God that if you quit listening to Him, God will bring suffering in your life to make you realize how much you need Him. Oh, yeah. God will put some suffering on you to make you realize that you need Him to deliver you. See, God isn't a God that wants to hurt anybody. I can tell you that. God desires not to hurt somebody. But I'm gonna promise you something. God is a God who wants you to know He's there and love Him, not just put him on a shelf and go see Him when you need Him. No, God is a God who wants you to walk with Him and talk with Him and spend time with Him every day you live. God is a God who wants you to come to Him with every burden you've got. God is a God who wants you to depend on Him in the dark times and the hard times and thank Him and praise Him and shout His name out in the glorious and the good times. God wants to be at the center of everything we do, every moment we live. God wants the glory from our life. If we're not going to give Him glory, then what in the world are we doing even trying to pretend like we're His? He deserves every bit of the credit. He deserves every bit of our heart. He deserves every bit that we give Him. And if we won't give it to Him, God help us. He is the rock. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this Lord, early this afternoon, and we just want to give you glory. Lord, I thank you that you're the rock of my salvation. I thank you, Father, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm thankful, Lord, that Lord, I came to you and trusted you and believed upon Jesus, my Savior. I'm thankful that I'm washed in His blood. I'm thankful, Lord, that it's settled. And, Lord, can't nothing on this earth, the devil, no angel, principality, or power could change what Jesus has done in my life. Lord God, I pray for my church family this morning. Pray, Lord, that we'll have a renewed desire to turn to you wholeheartedly and, Lord, to praise you, give you glory, to seek after your way, to know your will. Lord, to seek to do it and obey you and please you. Lord God, and to know that we cannot do it. You have to do it through us. But without Jesus, we can do nothing. Lord, may we come needy. May we come, Lord, clinging to your side. Lord, we know you have everything we need. We just thank you now. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. Lord, we ask you to bless each one this morning. Lord, if there's a need, Lord, I pray that it be addressed today and be met. Father, right now where we are, right where we stand, somebody could do business with you. They don't have to come kneel somewhere. Lord, they can bow their heads out right now. Lord, they can come to you in prayer right where they're at. Say, Lord, I haven't been what I ought to be. I haven't been close to you like I should be. But I sure want to be. Lord, help them to know and realize that if they'll simply come to you, Lord, you'll welcome them with open arms. Father, I just pray that you deal with us, show us our lack, show us our need, show us what we, Lord, where we fail so we can get it right with you and we can come to you and have a restored relationship. I ask you blessing on us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing a great little song here together.